have to be pretty. Okay, there we go. I feel pretty now.
The Alien Invasion is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, November 15th, 2012. Welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 55. From Waterloo, Iowa, I'm Dave Husker Nelson. Also here from Wausau, Wisconsin is Brad Hightop Ludwig and Anessa Dr. Becca Kelly Moines from Denton, Texas. And I apologize, Anessa. There was only two good names I could find.
Out of the blood and chrome.
Oh, you got that.
I got it when I saw Husker.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's Adama.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand who the other two were, so I just assumed it was from Blood and Chrome because I haven't watched that
good
yet.
Putting the pieces together. I'm proud of you. You're an investigator. So how you guys doing?
That's the cue to play that music.
Oh, yeah. We were goofing around the pre-show with this. So anytime you guys have a cool one-liner tonight, that's why I will play. So hey, we're back. It's been 3 weeks. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing all right.
I have bad news. We're going to be off next week.
We are.
Sorry.
Gosh darn Thanksgiving getting in the way.
I will be on the road, so you're getting one Alien Invasion, then you're going to get a week off, and then we'll be back, and I promise that we'll do a bunch of shows in a row. Promise.
Well, we can only do, like, what, three maybe in a row?
That's the rule?
However December works, and then Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Christmas.
I see.
And there's Christmas.
I see what you're saying. Okay. You know, we should do a special Christmas episode combined with time traveling robots in space. We should do a just totally off the wall Christmas episode. That'd be fun.
I like it.
I like that idea.
Yeah. We'll work on that.
A very galactic netcast Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
Yay!
You know what I have to say about that? All right, you know, we should probably talk about what we're here for, and this is the show where we talk about creatures from elsewhere in the cosmos and everywhere we see them, which could include, for example, film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and of course in real life. We divide the show into three parts: the news, the creature feature, that's our spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show live, just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. We'll let you know when and where it's going to be. So are you guys ready to start this thing?
Maybe.
Yes.
Okay.
Now I am.
In the news.
All right, I've got the first story of the week. So did you guys know that there's a movie coming out next year called UFO?
I did, because I put it on our feed.
You what?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I said I did, because I posted it on the Facebook feed.
Okay.
Twitter and
Google+. I must have missed that. I apologize. Anyways, just pretend.
Boo.
Okay, Anessa.
I missed it too.
Pretend that you didn't do that, and you have no idea what I'm talking about.
Oh, I totally have no idea about UFO. I'm saying it's about turtles.
Okay. So here this sounds really interesting. The film, which just released its trailer, stars Sean Bronson. Does that last name sound familiar to you guys? Bronson?
Yeah.
Bronson?
It is Pierce Brosnan's son.
Boom.
Bianca Brie. Do you guys know who that is? And don't look at don't look at the actual doc. Don't follow along in this case.
Well, by the name, I wouldn't know who that is.
Okay, it's the daughter.
That's cool, because I'm using Facebook right now.
It's the daughter.
Are we doing a show?
Yes, we're doing a show. Are you with us? Are you paying attention?
Well, you told me not to look at the document, I'm doing something else now.
All right, well, you can come back. Bianca.
You're a very confusing fellow.
I know, I confuse myself. Bianca Brie is the daughter of Jean-Claude Van Damme. She's in it.
Who happens to appear in the trailer.
Yes. And,
oh, wait, I didn't know that.
And Jean-Claude Van
Damme. Stop reading the document.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme makes a cameo in this movie as well. So here's
awesome.
What it's about. UFO is about five friends who wake up one morning to find there's no power, cell phones, or radio. The group wanders in the darkness for 2 days when they see. That's where I think they goofed up. Wandered in the darkness for 2 days. The sun didn't come up for a day. It was just.
It depends on where they're located at. Because if they're, say, at the North Pole in the middle of winter, there's no sunlight.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that they're in England. So I think that wouldn't.
Well, then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. So anyways, back to the. Okay. The group wanders in the darkness for 2 days. When they see a city-sized UFO above the city. Soon, civilization starts to break down, and the five friends find themselves in the middle of lawless anarchy. The movie was made for a little over $2.5 million, so don't expect spectacular special effects or anything. And it'll be in theaters this January. If UFO sounds familiar, it's because we did talk about it on a previous episode, Brad, way back when. Might have mentioned it just briefly. I don't think we had a huge discussion about it.
Yeah, actually, that does kind of sound familiar now.
I think at the time, there was no cast. I think it was just the initial idea for it. So it's done filming. It's in the can. It's in post-production. And it'll be out in January. This also has a very The Darkest Hour feel to it.
I was thinking Skyline.
Or that, yes. Let's hope it's not as bad as Skyline, because Skyline was a terrible movie. It was like...
Oh, it couldn't help it.
One of the worst movies I've seen, I think, in my life. Now,
it's not a great movie, but I have compared everything to, Open Water, and it's nowhere near Open Water status. That was a shite movie.
Okay. I guess if you compare it to movies that are kind of supposed to be bad, I think they filmed that movie. What's it called? Night Fine? What? Skylight?
Skyline?
Skyline. I think they were very serious about that film. And I think it just turned out to be a bad movie. I think Open Water, I think they kind of went into that going, I think it was a little tongue-in-cheek, don't you think?
It was like the Blair Witch Project, but in the ocean.
Really? I guess I haven't seen it.
Have you not seen Open Water?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's 2 hours of people floating out in the middle of the ocean.
Really?
And then they die. Sorry, spoilers.
Oh, thanks, Inessa.
Sorry, spoilers.
And then they die. Sorry about the spoilers.
I'm not watching it now.
Don't. Save your time. Like, I don't know. You could use those 2 hours to do something productive with your life. Like, learn how to crochet.
Or knit a cat.
I was thinking something knitting related. So, Dominic Byrnes directed this film, UFO, and he's best known for two awesome movies. Cockneys versus Zombies and Strippers versus Werewolves. So
I've never heard of Cockneys versus Zombies. Hello, love.
I have to watch this now. Cockneys versus Zombies. That sounds.
Yeah, I have to see that.
Sounds like a winner. So
that sounds awesome.
So this movie could be really awesome or really terrible. I guess it's. Flip of the coin. We'll see.
I'm going in with a bad yet entertaining flick.
Okay. What do you think, Brad? Your feeling on this?
I bet you it's going to be a flying crap storm, but I bet you it's going to be funny
all
to
right.
watch.
Let me write that down. Brad says
crap storm.
Flying crap storm from Brad Ludwig. Anessa, what did you say?
Nothing is clever. I said I think it's going to be crap yet entertaining.
Okay. Crappy.
Something like that.
But entertaining.
Craptacular.
Okay.
Yeah, craptacular.
All right.
Entertainingly craptacular.
So your predictions are logged. We'll keep that on record. And we'll see how that compares to the actual movie when it comes out.
We shall see.
All right. UFO. Look for it in theaters in 2013. Anessa, you've got the second story.
Woo! Fearing an alien invasion?
Yes.
It's not likely to happen.
Oh.
The discovery of planets supporting alien life may be possible within the next 50 years. However, it is likely that extraterrestrials will find Earth too boring to bother with. Renowned UK astronomer Sir Patrick Moore has claimed. That's kind of a bummer. I am sure there is life out there. We cannot be the only ones. I don't think we would be on any aliens tourist list. We are a pretty boring planet orbiting a pretty boring star, Moore was quoted by the Daily Mail as saying. As if recent discoveries of new planets beyond our solar system meant we were closer to discovering evidence of alien life in the next 50 years, he said, yes, we are not far off. We have found other planets. The next stage is to detect the atmosphere, he said at the launch of his new book, The Cosmic Tourist. The 89-year-old added he expected people, who could afford it, to become space tourists to the moon, Mars, and perhaps the outer reaches of the solar system by the end of the century. Last month, the Queen's astronomer, Lord Rees, explained that developments in astronomy mean that astrophysicists could be able to view images of distant planets outside of our solar system as soon as 2025, and potentially discover whether there is some form of life on them.
Cool.
So, it's kind of depressing, though. It's like, they're not going to come here. We're boring.
Well, you know, I can see that because there's nothing really spectacular. Like, our moon's not made out of cheese, you know? It's not orbiting in a different way. Like, you know, nothing is crazy about our planet. You know, there's no, like, I don't know what I'm trying to get at here. There's no unique features, like super unique features. Do you know what I mean?
I guess it would also probably depend on how their planet is made or formed, if they have any sort of plate tectonics. And if they don't have anything like that, I mean, that would be kind of cool if they're nerdy geology type aliens. Something new to check out.
So the aliens
don't
that would
have to have like fireworks going off 24/7 to attract aliens. I mean,
so the,
no, we do. What are you talking about?
So the aliens that are
talking crazy.
The aliens that would be interested in our planet would be even more boring.
Are
than
aliens like me?
They'd
yes.
be even more boring than we are.
No, not necessarily.
You're boring.
You're talking to me, who's gone on multiple field trips to look at rock formations. I mean, that's pretty boring, and like, I would be that boring alien.
Maybe they're boring but fun. Is that possible?
Seems like an oxymoron.
Like me. You're an oxymoron. Why are you insulting people?
I'm sorry.
So. I have a question. The story mentioned the Queen's astronomer. What else does the Queen have? Like,
what doesn't the Queen have?
Wouldn't that be awesome to have your own astronomer? Like Dave's astronomer. Dave's astronomer says,
only if I can summon my astronomer by going
our little bell.
Yeah, bell.
Court astronomer.
or this.
That would be the astronomer's response to
so
the...
what do you have? Pete Townsend sitting off your shoulder so he can belt that out for you?
Yeah, see, it's in England, so you'd actually have
court
Pete
astronomer.
Townsend.
Court astronomer. Yeah!
You'd actually have one of the members of the Who in the court, in the Queen's court at all times.
You wouldn't get anything done.
No.
It'd be like a constant barrage of, like... I got into That's What She Said looped later this afternoon. Said something, and then I followed it up with That's What She Said, and then I followed that up with, and it just became this loop, and I had to stop myself. It would be like that.
Were you doing this with somebody else? Or just yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
No. There was another human being sitting next to me. I think he was starting to tune me out, though.
So
that's what she said.
What do you guys think of his predictions of where humans are going to be by the end of the century, like exploring the outer solar system? Do you guys agree with that?
No.
Really?
No. Maybe Mars. But no. I mean, it's taken us this long to even get rovers on Mars. So it's. Like, we were doing things by really big leaps, and then it just kind of slowed down. So, I don't know.
Well,
I would give it at least 100 years, not 50 is way too optimistic.
What about the involvement of commercial private companies in space exploration? Do you think that's going to quicken the pace?
I think it'll quicken the pace to probably our close neighbor, the moon. But they would still have to figure out a way to get people to Mars and back without dying of space radiation.
Do you think there's going to need to be some kind of technological breakthrough for us to go any further than the moon?
Yes. Because, I mean, you can go to the moon in a short period of time without really being affected by the space radiation. But... it takes you about a year first-ish to get out to Mars, I think.
You know what they say?
Actually, probably more than that.
You know what they say is a good insulator against radiation? It's feces. So just cover your cover the walls of your spaceship with feces. You'll be fine.
It smells off in that ship.
Okay.
What do you call
it?
Call
it's
that
renewable.
Ship.
It's a renewable resource. I mean,
yes.
You need to repair it. You just eat a big meal and wait till in the morning. Go outside and fix it.
Yes.
The SS Pooflinger. That's the ship I want to be.
Problem
on.
Solved. We're going to Mars. We're going to Mars.
And all who sail in her. Yep.
I pass on that voyage as much as I'd like to go to Mars.
The SS Pooflinger. Woo! Let's go on Mars.
All right.
Space turd.
So to sum it up, Earth is boring and we're going to be on Earth for a while now or for a while before we start.
Earth is totally not boring.
I think one of the best things that we have going for us right now, and if they can advance like 3D printing a bit more, make it more economical, I think that – for long-term trips for making repairs and things like that to a ship would be huge.
Yeah.
Especially if you can recycle, like if you digitally print a wrench for, you know, repairing something, and if you can recycle that and reuse that in the printer, I think that would be really awesome. That's going to be like the key to everything. If you're going to take a long distance trip, you're going to have to be able to recycle or reuse as much of the cargo that you have on that ship.
Mm-hmm. I think
because you're not going to be able to stop at a Quick Mart or anything to pick up water or anything on the way. It's you have to travel wisely.
Okay. Here's my prediction as to how we're going to get to Mars and beyond. It's going to be a leapfrog type deal. It's going to be step by step. Like we're going to get back to the moon, and then we're going to establish some kind of base a little bit beyond the moon, maybe on some kind of asteroid. And then we're going to establish a base on one of Mars' moons. And it's going to be, we're going to have all these stopping off points where we'll be able to get further out into the solar system because we have all these rest stops. That's my theory on it.
I can see that.
It's a solid theory.
Thank you. I just thought it up.
Boom.
So
there
we go. That's that story. We would love to hear what you think. Do you think we're boring? Do you think we'll be out in the outer reaches of the solar system by the end of the century? Let us know. Email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. We've also got a voicemail number, and it is the following series of digits: 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for calling Galactic Netcasts. No, but seriously, we would love some feedback. It always makes us feel good and gives us something to think about, too. You know? All right, Brad. You got the third and final story. What do you got?
Excellent. A former advisor to the UK Ministry of Defense claims that the country has stockpiled weapons capable of defending against an alien invasion. Nick Pope. Dun, dun, dun. That's where you need the dramatic squirrel music. I think the button is called dramatic.
Oh, hang on. Do I have that? I might have that.
Damn it, Dave.
I have this. Or this.
All right.
Will this work? No?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, not really.
All right, continue.
Anyways, Nick Pope, the government's former UFO expert, said the UK has sophisticated weaponry to defend itself from extraterrestrials, according to a report on MSN. We do have several prototype aircraft and drones and other weapons you won't see on the news for another 10 to 15 years. So if we did face a threat from the unknown, then even if there who wrote this?
Me.
So if we did face a threat from the unknown, then even if there is no Torchwood around, there would be something like it by then, and they certainly would have some great kit to help in the fight. This is a very British story. He said in an interview. From 1991 to 1994, Pope was tasked to investigate the 200 to 300 reported sightings of UFOs in the UK each year to see if there was evidence of a potential threat. One of the things interesting was that when people reported seeing UFOs, these things were capable of extraordinary maneuver speeds. They were much faster than our military jets, so we wanted to find out about the technology and if we could find it useful, he said. Pope said one event that convinced him that there was alien life was a chase in the UK at Rendlesham Forest in 1980 in Suffolk between two military bases where a UFO actually landed. He said some of the witnesses described a smallish craft. It came on a second night, and when military personnel examined the landing site, they found indentations in the ground, and defense intelligence staff assessed the radiation levels with a Geiger counter and found radiation levels at 8 times normal, he said. For more information, you can check the show notes for a link to the article.
Yeah.
And I believe that... I think Anessa and I both watched something that had different UFO cases, and the Rendlesham Forest.
Was it one of the Dan Aykroyd UFO thing?
No, it was one the Truth About UFOs or darn it.
Well, it's a Netflix. It's a famous case, the Rendlesham Forest.
Yeah.
That's been talked about for years, and there was a lot of witnesses too. That's one of the reasons why that case is so legitimate, that it's so believable, is there's so many people that witnessed this thing, and it's coming from very good sources, you know, military men, you know, people that don't goof around. They don't make things up, you know?
Right.
It's kind of funny how the story mentioned Torchwood, and in the chat room, Mark the Movie Man mentioned Torchwood before Brad even got to it. That was kind of cool.
I think it was in something called UFO Conspiracy or... Shoot. That doesn't sound quite right. But anyways, it was something that was on Netflix where they talked about... and they had great graphics for each... it was like the top UFO... stories of the...
I really love when Brad can't think of something. It's interesting.
Best evidence. Yeah. Top 10 UFO sightings. Okay. That's what it was. Best evidence. Top 10 UFO sightings.
I think I started watching that one day.
A documentary in 2007. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was... it was a interview with experts that basically list off the top 10... UFO sightings that gave the best indications that there is intelligent life out in outer space and that they visited us.
Okay.
Boom.
I think I've seen that on Netflix, but I haven't watched it yet. I did attempt to watch the Dan Aykroyd documentary that Anessa had as her pick a few weeks back, and I got maybe 20 minutes into it, had to stop. I just couldn't. I couldn't stomach it. I don't know.
I fell asleep partway through it too, then woke up and watched some more.
It just had a weird vibe.
I saw it all the way through.
Well, good for you. More power to you.
Huzzah!
So, you guys have anything more feelings, thoughts about this story? You want to add anything to it?
I don't know what else to say about it. One, this was reported on MSN.
The website, I think. Which still exists. It's actually it's a pretty decent website. They put out some pretty decent content.
Huh. Interesting.
I think most people that go to MSN though go to it because their browser is set as the default to go to it.
They don't know how to change it?
No.
Yep. That's how Microsoft makes their money.
Yep, exactly. Yep. They're using the Internet Explorer because it's there.
Because grandma doesn't know how to change the settings.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes. All right, so that's your news. The Alien Invasion is brought to you by Audible.com for you, the Galactic Netcast listeners. Audible is offering a free audiobook download. Free! Especially with the holiday shopping season here, you need that extra money, so something free is pretty cool. You'll get a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. And to coincide with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest... Alien Star Swarm by Robert Sheckley. And this this description, I'm going to trip over big time, so excuse me. I'm just prepping you. I'm just warning you, okay?
There is warned.
Salvatore commands the battleship Endymion. Probably not the way it's pronounced. What?
Endymion?
Endymion, thank you. Yeah, that's probably Endymion. Right.
That's my guess.
I'm not
put
good.
The dog down, Endymion.
I'm not good with fancy
that's
words.
Something completely different.
Okay, so Salvatore has seen his share of battles and fought them bravely too. So he doesn't hesitate when beautiful Princess Hatari pleads for his help. She wants to regain her throne, but it may be more than Salvatore can accomplish. for the deadly race known as the Balderdash has taken over the planet Melchior. And now even his own
Balderdash.
Even his own men have turned against him. This sounds goofy. I don't know. Check it out. It's free, so check it out. And you don't have to pick this one. There's thousands of books to choose from. So you don't have to, just because we're saying this is the one that you should check out, that we're not forcing you. It's just, this is one that happens to coincide with aliens. So this, I picked this, and that's why we're talking about it. You can pick any book on Audible. Just go to Audible. What is it again? Hang on. Audible.com, audibletrial.com/galacticnetcast. Two, 3 weeks off. I'm rusty. And we thank Audible for their support of the alien invasion. All right, let's move on to this. That's the wrong thing.
Close encounters.
Close encounters.
We don't do close encounters anymore. We do this.
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
That was a blast from the past, Brad. I haven't done Close Encounters for months.
Yep.
All right.
Ah, the good old days. Back when we back used in to have Close Encounters.
Back in 2011. Okay, so...
Back in my day.
Back in July. No, that was farther back than that. Okay, so the creature feature this week is the Cylons. And I always like to kind of theme things up a little bit. So you'll know why I picked the Cylons later on in the podcast. But, okay.
Well, you've already hinted at the beginning.
Well, yeah. We're going to talk about, as my pick, we're going to talk about Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome. But we're just going to talk about the Cylons. This is the creature feature. And if you don't know who they are, where have you been? You've been under a rock. They are a cybernetic civilization at war with the 12 colonies of humanity in the Battlestar Galactica science fiction franchise. In the original 1978 and 1980 series, the 2004 reimagining, as well as the spin-off prequel series, Caprica, and the new Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome. The Cylon is also the name of the race who created the robot Cylons, because there's a slight difference between the original series from the 1970s and the reimagined series as to how the Cylons were created. Because in the original series, they were just a race of creatures. They were originally a biological creature or race that eventually kind of morphed into robotic creatures. That's how the original story went. And then in the reimagined series, it was humans that created the Cylons, who then in turn rebelled against their creators. So a slight difference. So the Cylons of the 1978-1980 series are not the mechanical foils seen throughout the series, but an advanced reptilian race who created the robots, who were referred to as Cylons within the show, to serve them, maintain their vast empire, and to man their military forces in the face of a sudden population drop that eventually led to the Cylons' extinction. The follow-up series, Galactica 1980, had a two-episode arc. By the way, Galactica 1980, terrible. Don't even watch it. It's not
That's
good.
What Mark's saying in the chat.
Yeah. When you have Wolfman Jack on your show, that's a bad sign. Wolfman Jack was on an episode of Galactica 1980. Brad, did you ever see it? Galactica 1980?
I can never unsee it.
Okay. All right.
It was like getting punched in the throat. It was horrible.
All right. So where was I?
Justice come.
Let's see. Though unlike its successors in the post-millennial reimagining. Okay. So in the Galactica 1980 series, There was a 2-episode arc that featured a humanoid Cylon, but unlike the successors in the post-millennial reimagining, it was not organic but a complex mechanical construct. All right, so the Cylons of the 2003 series and subsequent series are different from those of the earlier show, which I mentioned already. In the new version, the Cylons were created by humans as cybernetic workers and soldiers. The reimagined series includes 13 Cylon models that are nearly
indistinguishable.
Thank you. Hard to tell apart from humans. Although these human-formed Cylons are the focus of the series alongside the humanoid models, there are also Centurions similar to those in the original series. Much of the Cylons' technology is based heavily on bioengineering and or synthetic biology rather than conventional robotics. So there you go. That's the whole kit and caboodle story about the Cylons. That is your creature feature. Okay, question for you guys. What is your favorite type of Cylon? Original series or reimagined?
I haven't really seen the original series, so I'm going to have to go with reimagined.
Shame on
what?
You. Shame on... Shame, 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 shame.
It's on my queue. I've just never like actually sat down and watched it. Because I'm an awful person.
No, you're not. It won't take you that long. It was only on for a very short period. So you could probably speed through them in a weekend if you really wanted to.
Probably start making that evening watching ritual.
Yeah, there you go. So in that case, Anessa, what was your favorite type of Cylon on the reimagined series? Did you like the Centurions better or the humanoid Cylons? Well, obviously,
I liked the humanoid Cylons, but I kind of like the Centurions just because they didn't look human, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
They looked much more intimidating, and that's what you would expect out of like a giant robot that's trying to kill humans. So,
I'm going to talk about this now, but I will discuss it later on as well in my pick. But Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome, they show even more models. They show the original looking Cylons from the original series. They show the ones that were on Caprica, but they also show ones that were used as domestic labor by the humans. It's really interesting. I like Blood and Chrome a lot, and I can't wait to talk about it. But that's neither here nor there, I guess. But that's your creature feature. You guys have anything to add? Oh, I forget. Brad, never got your answer. Did you like the original Cylons or the reimagined better?
Wow, that's a good question.
Toasters or skin jobs?
I like the toasters.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have to go with the toasters because it really... That to me is more frightening than humanoid, more human-looking robots. I don't find that intimidating or scary at all. If something looks so foreign and so alien that you have no way to understand their thought processes or how they do anything, that scares the crap out of me. But you know, the skin jobs, no, I was never worried or afraid of them.
To me, I was a little bit scared of the skin jobs when we didn't know all of them, when not all of them were revealed yet, because you were always kind of suspicious. Is this person actually a Cylon or a human? You know, there was always that doubt in the back of your mind.
Yeah, there was that doubt, but I like the intimidation factor that the Centurions.
Plus, they can change their arms and their hands into different things. Like they can go from hands to guns, which is awesome. All right, there you go. That is your creature feature. Hey, question for you guys. Did you know?
Ooh, another one.
I love asking questions. Did you know that you can listen to our show, The Alien Invasion, and Time Traveling Robots in Space on Stitcher Smart Radio?
Really?
Yes.
I had heard a rumor.
No,
yes, it's true.
Nonsense.
Yeah, the rumors are true. You can. And if you have a iPhone, a BlackBerry phone, an Android phone or tablet or an iPad or any like smart device that you can have an app on, you can get Stitcher Smart Radio and listen to our shows without even like subscribing like or downloading anything. They just stream. I believe that you have a choice though between streaming and downloading. Am I correct, Brad?
You are correct.
Okay.
Brad.
Correct.
Or Anessa. You can answer that too, which you did. Just go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcast. She's a rebel. I'm going to answer anything. I don't care if that question's directed to Brad. I'm answering it, damn it.
I have an answer. I'm going to give it.
Yes. So again, stitcher.com/galacticnetcast. And don't forget to enter the promo code galacticnetcasts. And we thank Stitcher Smart Radio for their support of the Alien Invasion and the Galactic Netcasts Network. All right, let's move on to picks. Picks time! And Brad, you've got the first one.
Heck yeah, I do. So, I decided to actually dig into the Hulu Plus Criterion Collection and see what they had to offer. True to form, I found a whole slew of sci-fi films that they deem Criterion Classic worthy, or Criterion Collection worthy, and I found one that really kind of tickled my fancy, called The Atomic Submarine. It was made in 1959, and it is true dyed-in-the-wool classic 50s sci-fi. It reeks of awesome B moviness. You have atomic submarines, so you've got the now emerging nuclear powers that are being are more mainstream, not just for bombs, they're for actually powering things. You've got a new frontier of exploration. This atomic submarine story takes place in the polar ice lanes at the North Pole. If you're on a submarine, what's the one thing you're absolutely doing, especially if you're underwater? Guesses?
Singing no. The Yellow Submarine?
Yes.
You're smoking cigarettes. That's what you're doing. So they're smoking cigarettes in this little metal tube, and all the actors are all square-jawed and manly. So it reeks of Cold War machismo, and it's just awesome in that respect. The acting is not the best, but it just reeks of really classic 50s sci-fi. You get your speeches of American might and know-how and ingenuity in the face of the unknown. You've got in this film, you've got like an unwanted passenger who's a supposedly a peace-loving guy, just doesn't fit in with the whole America is awesome and screw the Ruskies. You've got great battles with models. They got this great model of the submarine, and it's going up against this UFO. And the whole premise of this story is just it's hilarious. You've got a bunch of nuclear-powered submarines that are being destroyed in the Arctic shipping lanes, like I was talking about before. And it's a UFO that is underwater. It's not in the sky. Whoa. Shooting these things, out of the water. It's under the water itself. So you've got, like I said, you've got these scale models and all this stuff going on, and this really odd alien that you meet towards the end of the movie, with this diabolical mission that, they're probably going to come and of course take over the planet, because that's what strange things that you don't understand will do. They're just here to kill you. They've got nuclear torpedoes. They've got an ICBM on this sub, and just reeks of the Cold War. But so many cool things are going on with this film.
I love
the only odd thing that I. What's that?
No, I was going to say that's what I love about 50s films is everything was nuclear based, you know, or fear of the Russians, you know. It was just you can tell a 50s movie a mile away just by the themes.
Yep, absolutely. And what's really interesting about this too is parts of the film are narrated. You have a third-party narrator speaking in past tense, but you never meet the narrator. It's not like it was one of the people on the ship that telling the story many years later. It was just this discombobulated voice that really just kind of didn't seem to fit anywhere. You get like 3 points of narration in the film, and then it's just you're dealing with the characters as the story is being told. And the narrator speaks as like, you know, they know that like it's retelling, this narrator is retelling the tale. This story has already happened to the narrator and he's kind of reiterating it to you, telling you about what happened with this amazingly crazy adventure. And, one of the best lines from the film, was during the final gambit, the final thing that they're going to do to try to save mankind is they have to modify a weapon. I'm not going to give anything away, but the narrator pops in and states that it's foolish, it was insane, it was fantastic, and it was the Earth's only hope.
Dun dun dun.
It was meant to be so serious, but I found myself, I have this great Papasan, whoa, breaking stuff here. I have this great Papasan chair and I'm just rolling around in my chair laughing my butt off. It was just great.
So this could have been a Mystery Science Theater 3000 movie.
Oh, absolutely it could have. It was definitely it high cheese value and it definitely would have fit very well in an MST3K situation. So, the Atomic Submarine from 1959. You can find it on the Hulu Plus Criterion Collection. And boy, if you've got an hour and a half and you have no idea what you want to do and you enjoy watching black and white B sci-fi film caliber films, this is for you. Absolutely.
All right. I'm in. Sign me up. All right, Anessa, what's your pick? Top that.
I have chosen, I can't, but it is from the same time period. It's from 1959. The movie called Invisible Invaders.
Oh no.
And it's kind of an alien invasion / zombie-esque movie. So basically you have these aliens that have decided to invade Earth, but they're invisible and they live on the moon. And so we can't see as they're coming to Earth. And so what they do is they basically take over a corpse. And the corpse runs around and talks to people and warns them, hey, if you guys don't surrender, we're going to destroy your planet. Or we're going to kill all humans, basically, and take over the planet. Because that's what they did to the people that lived on the moon 20,000 years ago. So it's this scientist named Adam Penner who is first contacted by the aliens, and he tries to tell the people of Washington, like the higher-ups, hey, there's an alien invasion going on, and they just kind of dismiss him. And so the aliens decide to take over some more corpses by causing some accidents, and they warn people at baseball games and whatnot, and there's like a panic. And so, the thing that doesn't really make sense about the movie is the aliens have been living on the moon, apparently, the invisible aliens, for the past 20,000 years. And they only now decide that it's time to destroy the human race now that the humans are developing rockets and trying to send stuff out into space, and they've got nuclear weapons. Honestly, they could have just come down to Earth at any point in the 20,000 years and destroyed the human race and taken over Earth. But instead, they waited until humans were like, oh, hey, let's create atom bombs.
Were they sleeping or something? Taking a nap?
Maybe they take really long naps. I don't really know, but it didn't really make any sense. And so the advantage that the aliens had over the humans, of course, was that they could leave these corpses and you couldn't see them. And so the movie was the humans trying to figure out a way to be able to see their enemy and be able to defeat them. So, ways.
Kind of like that movie that came out last year, right? That I mentioned earlier.
Oh, Blackout?
No.
Was it Blackout?
Not Blackout. I always forget the... Oh,
the
Dark
movie?
Darkest Hour. Yeah, it was... Yeah,
or
Russian.
Darkest Hour, I don't remember. I just remember it was like something dark, black, whatever.
Yeah.
Not light.
Okay, so this... The whole thing about using corpses sounds very Plan 9 from Outer Space-ish.
Yeah, except it wasn't as crappy of a movie.
Yeah, Plan 9 is terrible.
Although they did use some of the same footage, and then they used footage from, like, it's funny, because whenever they're causing a plane to crash, there's this big X on the side of the hill where you can see the plane is supposed to crash, so I assume it's this test footage.
Yep.
To see, well, what happens if we crash this plane and at the side of a hill?
Back.
So it's just really funny that they use stock footage of different events.
Back in the 1950s and 60s, movies, especially B-movies, used a lot of stock footage.
Yeah, like, I think there was a hockey game, maybe, that was going on, and one of the alien people came in and knocked out the announcers and then made this announcement. You see, the seats are all full, but then whenever the zombie starts talking, there's just maybe like 16, 20 people in this tiny little section where they're zoomed in on, and then, of course, there's panic. But you only see the 16 people running around like, oh my god, we're all gonna die!
Yeah, that's the best part, when the stock footage does not match the rest of the film.
Yeah, so if you're into awesome movies like that, then I guess you might like this one too.
All right, cool.
And it's only like an hour and 6 minutes long, so we don't have a whole lot of time to kill.
Where did you watch it? And where?
Netflix.
Oh, Netflix, okay. You probably said that earlier, right?
I don't know. I don't think I did. So, surprise, Netflix.
There is...
Invisible Invaders.
There is a bunch of really bad B science fiction movies on archive.org, if you ever get a chance to check out that website. It's these licensed free movies, just public domain movies. And not just movies, but like educational films. You know, stuff that you may have seen back in the 50s as well. So... if you ever get a chance, check out archive.org. I recommend it. All right.
Awesome.
So my pick is totally different from yours, and it's something that we've already talked about a number of times on this episode. It is Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome, the web series, which premiered last week on the Machinima YouTube channel. Have you guys had a chance to see it yet?
No.
Nope.
Shame, shame, shame. We shamed Anessa earlier for not checking out the original Battlestar Galactica. I'm shaming both of you for not checking out the web series yet. Shame, shame.
I'm telling you, I'm an awful person.
Oh, Bucky, my coworker, Bucky.
I'm the devil.
Bucky, who's in the chat room, my coworker, he has seen it. So he's above you guys now on my list.
I get that a lot.
So... Maybe we should stop the podcast.
You're at the top of my list, Brad.
We should stop the podcast and let you guys watch the episodes and come back, maybe. No?
Or we could just watch them and talk about them next week.
Okay.
Week after next.
All right. See, my enticing description will get you even more excited about it, right?
Entice me.
Okay, so here we go. It's, like I said, like I mentioned, it's on the Machinima YouTube channel. It was produced by the Sci-Fi channel, and it was always meant to be a web series. It was talked about that it might be picked up as a regular TV series for a while, but that was never the original plan. So here is the synopsis of it. It's set in the 10th year of the First Cylon War. The story follows William Husker Adama as a young man, being a recent Academy graduate. He's assigned to the newest battle star in the Colonial Fleet, the Galactica. Adama is ordered to escort a young woman who eventually turns out to have vital information that carries significant importance to certain Cylon secrets. The routine mission eventually turns dangerous and becomes a pivotal part of the story. Here's a little background on how the series got developed. The digital series was filmed using digital reconstructions of the Battlestar Galactica sets that were scanned before they were dismantled after the end of the show. So basically, a guy went around with some fancy schmancy cameras and took still and video of the original Battlestar Galactica set, and they're using that. They're kind of just projecting it in the background. So the actors, I'm sure they're just acting in front of green screens or whatever. Sci-Fi made an announcement in 2010 saying that a two-hour pilot was greenlit for production. During the 2011 San Diego Comic-Con, Sci-Fi's president of original programming, Mark Stern, hinted to an uncertainty regarding which format the project was going to be released in, weighing the possibility of making it into an online series. In March of this year, Deadline.com confirmed that Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome would not move forward in TV, but was still regarded as a candidate for a digital series. So that's going back to what I said before, it was never really meant to be a TV series. And after watching it online, I can see why, because it doesn't really look good enough for a TV series. It looks pretty good, but not to the par of the original Battlestar Galactica and to the par of other shows that are on TV. It looks great as a web series, digital series, but doesn't quite look good enough to be on TV. That's my opinion. Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome is scheduled for release, or it came out last Friday, and it will comprise of 10 12-minute acts. So there you go. That's my recommendation, Battlestar Galactica Blood and Chrome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I have to give it a look, because it's one that I have wanted to watch. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
I'll tell you what. The graphics, when they're inside the Galactica, aren't nearly as good as when they're like inside one of the Raptors or one of the smaller ships, or when they do the space scenes. The space scenes look awesome. I think the space scenes actually look better than the original Battlestar Galactic series, or the 2004 Sci-Fi channel Battlestar Galactica, not the 1978 series. But when they're actually aboard the Galactica, it doesn't look quite as good. But there's some interesting things, like they showed a couple of members of the crew on these tram type things going from one of the hangar decks to the CIC. And that's a throwback to the original series, which they never showed on the Battlestar Galactica Sci-Fi series. So I'm wondering if that like tram system was broken over what I'm saying? The Galactica was this great ship at one time. Now, the Galactica that we saw in the series was 20, 30 years old, right? So a lot of that stuff was probably not working anymore, right?
Or they might have upgraded the way that they traveled. Maybe something, they had found something faster than a tram.
Yeah. That's true. It's quite possible. But I thought that was kind of interesting. That was a throwback to the original series. Because I always loved when the Cylons were attacking the Galactica in the original series, all the Viper fighters on those trams, and it was the same stock footage every time. They never changed it. It was the same Viper pilots.
Yes.
So your mission, Brad and Anessa, is to, as soon as we get done with this episode, to go online, youtube.com, and look up Battlestar Galactica, Blood and Chrome. Watch the episodes and report back to me as soon as you can. That's the mission. And there's no and there's no if you choose to accept, you are accepting. You are doing this. It's being demanded of you.
How long are the web episodes?
12 minutes. No, hang on. Yeah, 12 minutes. There's 10 12-minute acts. So
a half hour then.
Yeah. So I guess this is going to be aired on Sci-Fi next year after it's initial run on YouTube. They're going to put it together as a miniseries, or not a miniseries, but a movie, a full episode, and air it on Sci-Fi too. So there you go. Bucky says February or March 2013. I think you are correct, sir. All right, there you go. We're going to put... We have a picks page on our website, galacticnetcast.com, and I'll try to track down your picks, The Atomic Submarine and Invisible Invaders. I'll see if they're on Amazon and put those on the picks page. We'll see. Amazon surprises me once in a while. There's stuff on there that I never thought would be on there. So,
surprise!
But the picks page is a great place to go to check out things that we have recommended. And if you buy them through our page, we'll get a small commission. So another incentive, another way for you to help support the Galactic Netcast Network. All right, so there you go. That is a show. Thanks for joining us for the Alien Invasion. Don't forget to subscribe. Go to subscribe.galacticnetcasts.com. We appreciate that. Also, if you can, go on to iTunes and leave us a favorable review and give us 5 stars. That way more people will be able to check out the show, and we'll snowball and become something huge someday in 20 years or so.
Yes, world domination in 20 years.
I'm going to take a nap till then.
All right.
What?
Just like those creatures on the moon, taking a nap.
Gotta be well rested for world domination.
Yeah. Need all the strength you can get, you know?
That's what she's saying. Half
acid.
What?
All right. Thanks for joining us. Now you know what's coming, right? Final thoughts.
No.
Final thoughts. What do you got for me?
Damn it. I'm never ready for this.
Spell check before you etch something in wood.
Is there a story? Is that something that happened?
Yeah. About a month ago, I went on an intro geology field trip, and we had kind of a little reunion this evening to exchange photos and have beef and whatnot. And someone decided to etch Carlsbad geology, or I forget, it's like Carlsbad Guadalupe Mountains 2012. And they forgot the R in Carlsbad, and they misspelled Guadalupe. They put an E instead of an A.
So is cars bad?
It was cars bad.
Cars.
No, it was
cars bad.
Let's see. They forgot the R, I think it was. So it was like cows bad.
No, that would be no R.
They forgot the R.
Oh, okay. I thought you said L.
No, I thought it was the R. Maybe I said L, but it was the R that got.
Okay.
So it was like no...
They forgot stuff.
Yeah.
They forgot stuff. It was like Cal's bad, and so he went in and tried to fix it with the Sharpie.
What, Cal? Cal went in and tried to fix it?
No, someone went in to try to fix it with a Sharpie.
Who's this cow person?
I don't know who this cow person is.
Oh, okay.
Face. What?
What's funny is Dave's sitting back. He's like, I know exactly what's going on. I wish Brad would stop. Yeah, I get that a lot, too.
No, I'd never. That was not. That's not what
Brad
I was thinking.
Me, so.
I do not.
Okay, so Anessa,
like with you.
Anessa gave you,
different.
Brad, Anessa completely gave different. You plenty of time to think of a final thought. Do you have something?
I can ramble some more.
I was busy
being, giving me a hard time.
I know.
I was busy being witty and pontificating. I didn't have time to come up with a final thought.
When in doubt, pinky out. There you go. You're welcome.
Yes, when drinking the tea, always have the pinky out.
Waiting.
Oh,
on,
hey,
waiting on you, Brad.
We're in Tom and Jerry season, so it's time to get your Tom and Jerry batter and your brandy, rum, and your hot water, and have warm drinks to keep you warm and slightly booze-addled throughout the winter season.
Yes,
thank you very much.
I like that plan. I'm gonna adopt that plan. All right. Thanks for joining us for the Alien Invasion. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.